Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Thursday in the middle, the dead center of November. Bumi Mashiko is here.
Are we dead center?
Oh, well, sort of. I mean, what's 30 days hath September, 17. April, June, and November, so okay. You're 15. But we're just over the halfway mark, so... Pumi is here in the studio. I am in my home. Apparently, there's been cable theft up the road, so that's why I'm sitting in the dark. That's all you need, right? As if load shedding isn't bad enough, then we also have to deal with cable theft. But I'm not going to sit here and complain. You know, these are the trials and tribulations of being South African. You just have to grin and bear it and hope that somewhere, somehow, someone takes responsibility and sorts these things out. All right. Yeah, exactly. Wahaha. Well, we'll get into that with the burning platform a little bit later on. How are you, Pums?
Excited.
Tell me why.
It's exciting to be this, like, close to the end of the year.
You know, I was talking to someone about this yesterday, and then they suddenly said to me, what are you talking about? It's still a month and a half. Why you want to go slow? We've got things to do, people to see, places to go, stuff to be achieved. I'm like, okay, well, I can shake myself out and keep going for another month and a half. I'm sure I can do it. And we're working right up until the 24th anyway, so.
Yeah, who isn't? But, like, it's still, we're that close. It's not a go slow towards the end of the year. Good God, no, never is. I mean, we're busier than we've been almost this whole year at our office.
Oh, good.
Which is always exciting.
Excellent. I'm happy to hear that.
But it's that, you know what? That time of the year is exciting for two reasons for me. Besides Boney M out in the malls, it's exciting because it's like, always when it's the end of the year, there's, all of the, you're wrapping up all of these things and like looking forward to a fresh new year with a whole lot of new starts, a new school year, a new this, da 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 da.
Well, I mean, I always get excited here. So you're preaching to the choir. I mean, like I love this time of year. It doesn't take
presents.
Yeah. All of this stuff. All of it. I love all of it. I was thinking now about, you know, we were talking to Mash on Monday. He's already put up his Christmas decorations. So there's lots to do.
Okay, I'm not that excited yet.
No, he's in. Don says you need inverters for load shedding, not a UPS. UPS is a short power supply to shut down your machines, not run for long periods of time. I made the same mistake a few years back. Well, I bought this one, back in the beginning of lockdown. And
this one, what?
I've got a UPS, and okay. It's worked very well. I've touch wood had no serious problems with it so far, but I do believe they do run down eventually, and maybe somebody can just help us figure that out. Rebellious Ruth says, wish I was on a go slow. I think it's an exaggerated 1 week that people go mad. Well, I mean, the one thing that is happening in November is Black Friday, right? I mean, that's the end of this month. Are you into this?
Next week Friday.
Yeah. Are you into Black Friday?
Listen here. I am into anything that will save me money. I'm not into, like, crazy spending. But, like, you wait for Black Friday because a whole lot of things go on sale. Like, all those people that keep bothering us about air fryers this whole year. This is your moment to shine, people. This is your moment to shine. Because all things like that, those kinds of things go on sale, right? They go on crazy specials. And of course, because of the depressed sales cycle, Black Friday is lasting longer and longer. So Black Friday specials are lasting
Don't get me wrong.
If you're looking for an inverter, now is the time to get it. If you're looking for an air fryer,
I love the idea of saving money, but I mean, really, to have to go through all of this, the queuing and the people who behave badly just because they want to save ₹5 on a TV. I mean, it's really.
You can do it online.
No, I get that. That's absolutely perfect. But the truth remains, Pums, that many of us just don't have any money. So it's not worth trying to save money when you have none to spend. You know what I mean?
This is true.
So
this is true.
You're talking
because I was so upset last week, Thursday, that we didn't talk about Singles Day. And it was like on the day.
Yeah. So just explain to me again. Singles Day started in China, right? It's their version of Black Friday.
It's their version of Black Friday. It's right. Actually Jack Ma's version of Black Friday.
Okay.
And it always absolutely fascinates me because of how much commerce gets done on that one day. It's Jack Ma's big idea.
No, sure. I mean,
I'm going to look here. I'm going to look. Simpu has given me a computer that's got like 50 tabs open right now.
Oh my god! Oh yeah. Just quickly, by the way, do you have any sites that you like to go to, especially now for these Black Friday? Are there any sites that you can't help yourself with? You have to go and check them out immediately, and they're the ones where you spend most of your money
at home.
At home, is that where you go, huh? Have they got some nice? They got some nice specials.
Ooh, they always do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
See, I can't see this year's number, but I can see 2021's number. $139 billion was what Chinese shoppers spent.
Good God. Wow. Even in like a dead year, essentially. I mean, that's just phenomenal.
I love it.
All right. Well,
I love it.
There are a couple of things on the agenda for this morning, and I think, you know, since we're talking Christmas and shopping and all the rest, it's probably appropriate that we tell you the bad news. Mariah Carey has failed in her attempt to become the Queen of Christmas. You know, she was applying for a trademark to be the Queen of Christmas, and it was denied. The American Star's application was rejected after her company did not respond to another singer's opposition to her request for the trademark Queen of Christmas. The trademark would have given her the legal right to stop others from using the title on music and merchandise. Carey also failed in attempts to trademark the abbreviation QOC and Princess Christmas. So she's going for all of them. The star has become synonymous with the festive period since the release of the 1994 track All I Want for Christmas Is You. Sure. That track is as old as democracy in South Africa, huh? That's pretty amazing.
That's incredible.
So Carey's company, which is called Lotion LLC, applied for the Yuletide trademark last year, leading to another singer called Elizabeth Chan putting in a legal challenge in August in an attempt to block her from obtaining registration. Who's Elizabeth Chan, you have to ask, right? Well,
the fact that we have to ask tells us why she shouldn't be.
Yeah, well, she has been Queen of Christmas. She was called that by the New Yorker back in 2018 for having put out the original festive records every year for a decade. And she criticized Mariah Carey for attempting to monetize Christmas. Says the woman who's been putting out an album every year for a decade at Christmas time. She says, I feel very strongly that no one person should hold on to anything around Christmas or monopolize it in the way that Mariah seeks to profit in perpetuity. That's what she said in August. That's just not the thing to do. Christmas is for everyone.
I can actually hear her righteous indignation.
Absolutely.
In all those statements, I can hear it.
She says, Christmas is for everyone. It's meant to be shared. It's not meant to be owned. Chan went on to say that Carey had been trying to trademark this in every imaginable way, from music, clothing, and alcohol to masks, dog collars. It's all over the map. If you knit a Queen of Christmas sweater, you should be able to sell it on Etsy to somebody else so that they can buy it for their grandma, she went on. It's crazy. It would have the breadth of registration that she wanted. I mean, this woman was really cross. Huh?
Shame.
Yeah. Well, poor Mariah, she's failed in her attempt. What a waste. What a loss. Poor, poor Mariah.
We can all just call her the Queen of Christmas in private.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's still going to make all that money from All I Want for Christmas Is You, right? It's not like that's going to go away.
That's it. Like, geez. It always reminds me of Love Actually.
Yeah, well, that
was that the film?
Yeah, that movie certainly made it even more popular, no doubt. I've just seen my dog run in here. I just want to see what she's doing. Can you give me a second? I just want to see what the hell she's got, because she seems like she's got something. Will you explain, just in the meantime, Pums, this is really important. Explain this whole FTX thing as much as you can, and in a way that, like,
no one can explain this.
No, we need to understand this. And then I've got a picture of SBF and of his girlfriend for you, but just give me a second.
Listen, the fact that we have to deal with the fact that the man's name is SBF, that's what he's called, SBF, while talking about FTX, the whole thing is a mess. But before we talk about that, Gareth, I think we do need to make I'm looking in the comments here, which is my favorite part of the show.
All right, I'm back.
And Stevie just put a comment about his dog as you go and look for your dog. I'm so sorry, Steve, for you. His 14-year-old Staffy drowned.
Oh, shame. God, that's awful. Jesus, that's awful.
And I read that wrong when I started reading that, and I'm gutted for you. It really is awful. Is your dog okay, Gareth?
Yeah, fine. She's just chewing some toy of hers, but I thought that she had something else because she killed a bird the other day, and I was very, very cross with her for the whole morning. You know, I know that's what dogs do, but it was this – there's this – I don't know why. I seem to attract these birds to me. I told you about the one that landed on my shoulder last week. But I had this pair of wagtail birds nesting in the creeper on my one wall. And they're very sweet little birds. You know, they sort of – their tails go like this the whole time, and they kind of bob up and down. They're very lovely animals. And I love birds, and I always think that, you know, birds make their home where they feel safe. And if they feel safe around me, that's a good thing. It's a sign of some kind of peace in the home, right? Anyway, this little shit of mine, she goes and finds this bird. And, I mean,
she caught one of those two birds?
I think no. One of the babies that fell out of the nest.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, and it was still kind of alive, and I mean I didn't know what to do with it, so I just took it away from the dog, but I don't think it made it. Anyway, I was cross with her, so I shat all over her that morning. I was like, Alice, what the hell are you doing? And then, you know, she kind of looks at you like, well, what do you expect me to do? I'm a dog. You know? Don't be ridiculous.
Be silly.
Yeah, exactly.
So show me a picture. So SBF. SBF.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about this FTX thing, because this is going to set back crypto in a big way. It's already, you know, the fact that this – by the way, it's not just setting back crypto. This is the guy who wanted to make altruistic giving. What did he call it? There was a whole thing that developed around this guy's business model, where you earn money so that you can give it away, basically. That was his thing, SBF. His name is Sam Bankman-Fried.
Sam Bankman-Fried.
Okay, so this is the guy, and he's the one who started FTX. Clearly a very, very clever guy.
Have you got a picture with his hectic hair? And he's only 30.
Yeah, there he is. There's SBF, Sam Bankman-Fried. So clearly a smart guy, but also now in the category of like Bernie Madoff and, you know, that kind of Ponzi scheme type stuff, because what he was doing is he had a bunch of different vehicles and he was using money that investors had put into FTX, which is a trading platform, an exchange, crypto exchange primarily. And he was taking that money.
A trading platform that had $16 billion US dollars worth of people's money.
Correct. Not his money, other people's money. And he was using this to buy up other assets, to buy up other companies, you know, to show that there was growth on the balance sheet, all of this stuff. And then suddenly...
But also most of it was based on this token, right?
Yeah,
so this is what I hate most about the story, is it's got so many acronyms, right? So it was also based on some kind of NFT that they have in their organization. So you put in your real money.
Right.
In order to get access to this cryptocurrency, because it was a crypto exchange.
Right.
And also part of it then went into this NFT that they had.
Right.
And
that's correct.
This is where it all begins to fall apart, because the NFT was also one of their biggest competitors. And I'm going to remember his name now. Also another crypto exchange.
Binance also owned a whole
lot of the NFTs that existed within FTX.
Now, I know that there are a lot of people who have been crypto skeptics for a long time who are licking their chops right now going, oh, we told you these guys are all crooks and scammers. But that's not the point. I mean, there are plenty of good exchanges where there's a lot of really interesting stuff happening. But this guy is one of the bad eggs, and he was caught with his pants down because there was a run on his company. People were cashing out.
The run was because
of
Binance.
Yeah.
I think what we're not talking enough about is the fact that his biggest competitor announced that they owned so much of this NFT stock within their business. And then a day and a half later announced that actually they are not feeling it, basically. Yeah. And so they're getting rid of it. And in his scramble, he very quickly announced that actually, no, Binance is going to buy out their whole business. They're going to own FTX. And then the really like dick move is the Binance owner came out to say, actually, we're not going to buy this company and we don't believe in it at all. And people start. That's what created the run.
Well, apparently,
and basically Binance killed FTX.
Well, the latest headline is that Binance is denying the accusation from a UK lawmaker that it deliberately sank FTX. The other problem here is that is that he was, so this SBF, this Sam Bankman-Fried, was living in the Bahamas with some friends and his girlfriend. This, by the way, is his girlfriend. This girl here, Caroline.
No.
Yes, Caroline Ellison. She looks like she's 12, and she was the CEO of Alameda, which was a company within their company portfolio, and they were like the research.
Yeah, well, that was their this was their venture capital.
Yes,
company.
Correct.
Alameda and right. Research. So they did research and venture right. capital, and this was also the company that was kind of making all of the overtures to get pro crypto regulation through Washington.
Can you believe her, first of all? I mean, she looks 12.
She looks like she's 12.
Mm-hmm. And then him with his crazy hair. You know, the point is here too, that there are a lot of people who are saying, oh, these are the worst people, and they may well be, I don't know. But what I would like to say is that it seems there are a really large group of people in the world who just love to see a disaster. Hey, they just love to see things fuck up. And I don't know if everybody isn't just, there seem to be a lot of people who live on Schadenfreude. this is their favorite thing.
Listen, but it is so mind-blowing. Every single component of the story is so mind-blowing for me. The numbers that are being thrown around.
Oh, huge.
To lose $15 billion worth of value. Just that is just like absolutely shocking.
Yeah, he's gone from being a billionaire to being worth zero. In fact, possibly even facing jail time. By the way, the term I was looking for earlier is effective altruism. And this is something a lot of people have been talking about, particularly in Silicon Valley. No. So it's where they, you know, like Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, for example, are giving away most of their money before they die. They'll be getting most of it into charities and good causes and things like that. And this is something that Sam Bankman-Fried was supposedly going to be doing as well. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, I don't know whether that's something he achieved at all. Who knows? But there's SBF, and there's his girlfriend, and there's another sad story in the world of crypto. Just disasters. Disaster piled upon disaster.
Listen, but SBF's story does sound a little bit like Anna Dalvey.
Yes. Yeah.
Because he went from being nobody knows who this guy is to throwing around millions and millions. I think he was like the number four donor in these past midterm elections. It donated something like $30 million.
He was the second biggest election donor to the Democrat Party.
Yeah, but in the top 10 overall, he was number four.
Oh, okay.
And just to give you a perspective of what it is, number one is George Soros.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah. This guy went from being, who's this guy, to being three steps behind George Soros.
Well,
in election spending. Photos with all the big guns in Washington.
You have to ask about this very ugly overlap between big money and politics, right? Which is something we discuss often on this show. And it happens more in rich countries than it happens in poor countries because the amounts of money are bigger. And there's more to gain and more to lose, right?
It's very hectic.
It's very hectic.
But every time, and I see George Meany in the comments is also talking about Elizabeth Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
But every time you see these like nobodies suddenly pop up everywhere, flash to the top, it's from two things, right? Being seen with the right people and throwing around lots of imaginary money.
Right, and imaginary
money. And suddenly
money.
Everyone takes them seriously.
That's exactly right. Well, we will talk about the Elizabeth Holmes story because she also just completely bamboozled all of Silicon Valley and all of the big investment companies because she came up with this supposed idea, a business idea, and she was an excellent presenter, but it turns out she was a complete fraud. And we'll talk about Elizabeth Holmes another day. You could call her Elizabeth Fraud, right?
Because the story continues to unfold and everybody's mad because she's in court now, I think.
I've got my bloody headphones stuck in the chair now.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to get my headphones out of this chair. There we are. They're unstuck. My headphones went under the wheel of the chair and then I couldn't move. All right, let's look at some of the comments quickly. And then I do want, while we're talking about like big cases, we've got to talk about Senzo Miyiwa because maybe you can make sense of I've covered it. I mentioned the latest update yesterday about Kelly Kumalo's lawyers and Chico Twala was in the news this week about the Senzo case. But maybe you can give us some insight into that, Pums.
Y'all, I told you that this thing is by far from over. It's going down. And the big explosive revelation this week, which started the week out on Monday with what is his name? Thabane Madlala, one of Senzo Meiwa's friends, who actually just said, well, long way short, Senzo. And he had written that in a statement, but that statement got changed. And
wow.
And now he's boom.
Wow. He just said it like that, huh?
Remember, it sounded like I was a crazy conspiracy theorist when I said to you guys that the person who shot Senzo was in the house and that it is very likely this Chico's son, because he's the only person that didn't belong. He's the only person that was an outsider. Other people were like sisters and friends and And he was the boyfriend who had been like ignored all weekend. And they were drinking.
So what is, do we know anything about the son of Chico Twala? What do we know about him? What's his life story?
His life story is that he's a brat.
Oh.
No, that is his life story. He's a brat. He started out years ago when he was like 13 or 14, he and a friend of his actually had a very big hit song that his father, his very famous musician father, produced for them. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of fizzled out. And like many rich brats, he just fell into an orgy of a life. of drinking and drugs and all of that. And they are, again, this week, it surfaced a video, a little video surfaced of Chico, which it's purported it was like secretly taken in a police, in the, what do they call, in the charge office at a police station with Chico, fighting with Longwe about Longwe just dragging his name through the mud. He's so tired of him and his drunkenness and this and this and this. And he must actually get arrested now because he can't, Chico can't bear this anymore. But I think that was a staged video.
Well,
I think it was a staged video to make Chico look like a father who cares about his delinquent son and just wants his son to do the right thing, but his son won't do the right thing. And there's nothing he can do about it. But I think Chico bails his son out.
According to IOL, they're reporting, and this is 2 hours ago, that if my son killed Senzo Miyua, he must go to jail. That's what Chico Tuala is supposed to have said. So, you know, the thing keeps unfolding. It's just so messy, isn't it?
Yo, I think the messiest part is who was sleeping with who.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's so much dirt still here. And then poor old Kelly Kumalo, who's been called everything under the sun since the story broke in 2016.
You know,
right?
when Advocate Tifo said to the judge, this is a fucked up situation, we all thought, but it is.
It is. That's the best way to describe it, actually. So, a few things that are not going to make you very happy, but we need to pay attention to in the news. First thing, and the reason I say it's not going to make you happy, is because it's about a petrol price increase. Yep. Just when, you know, Christmas is on your mind and you're already dealing with all these costs and Pumi was talking about saving money. Well, good luck. The festive season's upon us. You can expect darkness and higher fuel prices. Some really positive headlines coming from ENCA this week. The AA is forecasting increases next month. They say data from the Central Energy Fund forecast increases of between 97 cents and 1 rand 9 cents a litre. Illuminating paraffin is expected to increase around 30 cents a litre. Oh, yes. And there's some good news for diesel users. Oh, thank God. The price of diesel will decrease by up to 34 cents a litre. The petrol hikes are also due to higher oil prices. So some ups, some downs, but all in all, not great. This is not what you wanted to wake up to this morning. I'm very, very sorry, right?
This is a terrible story.
It is. It's awful. Awful, awful, awful. So there we go.
97 cents is a lot of money.
Swallow that bitter
pill. So what will be the new price per liter?
I don't know.
Is anyone still counting?
Who's paying attention? We need to know. Somebody tell us.
So I am stuck on, I don't know if anyone else does this. My tank used to, I think it used to be like just under 1,000 rand. So like 1,000 rand was my money.
Those
like
days are gone, Pums.
Putting into the tank.
Those days are over.
Those days are gone. So actually don't do anymore is I don't fill my tank unless I'm going far. I just put in 1,000 rand. That's my psychological ceiling for how much I'm putting in the tank
I filled the car that I'm driving at the moment, which it's always been over 1,000, but now it was 1,500 and something for one tank, Pumi. You know, 1,500 rand, I mean, let's just call it around 1,500. That's a lot of money. That can buy you a lot of groceries. That can do quite a lot of stuff in anyone's life. So it's not great that this is the stuff we're dealing with in the world at the moment. And I'm one of the lucky ones because diesel's coming down by 30-odd cents a litre. And I can still afford to have a car, right? So many people have had to give this stuff up.
Listen, but madness. I have many psychological like ceilings for what I'm willing to spend on stuff. I'm just like 1,000 rand. That's what I'm spending. That's what I'm spending on the, if I, you know, if I'm running out of petrol, then I must stay home.
Stink Mina says, you're looking at a price of R23.89 for 95. Yay. Mm-hmm. Yo, Jade Naidu says, you just cry when you put in 400 Rand. Yeah. Just minus a couple of takeaways from your budget for the month and dedicated to petrol. Done, says lovely Lady Lee. Yeah, but we're not talking about people who are buying takeaways every day, lovely Lady Lee. So we'll have to see. Maybe you, I don't know.
Listen, I've been doing the calculation, lovely Lady Lee. I have been doing the calculations on the cost of cooking versus the cost of takeout, especially if it's like on a special, you know, like a Tuesday night special or whatever. Coupled with the fact that you don't have the power to cook. So if you've got that load shedding schedule from 6 to 8:30.
Yeah.
Takeaways is what you're getting.
Absolutely. I'm afraid so.
So as you all know, I like a good special. I've got a list. I've got a list of who's got what. Who's got what takeaway special during the week?
Well, so there is some good and bad news in terms of all this rain that we've been having, right? So apparently the dam levels have risen sharply in Gauteng, but in the Western Cape, they're obviously still dealing with a bit of a problem. According to the weekly report from the Department of Water and Sanitation, there's a huge improvement in water levels in the country's reservoirs to 96.6% this week as compared with last week's 89%. So that's quite a big increase. This is due to recent rainfall. It's a huge improvement in the national average as compared to last year's 77.9%. Rainfalls have improved the country's water systems, which have been in a downward spiral for the past weeks. The integrated Vaal River system, which consists of 14 dams in four provinces, is sitting at 101.2% this week, a notable improvement from last week's 93.3%. Part of the system there is the Vaal Dam, which supplies water to Gauteng. Vaal Dam is now at full capacity. It's got to 106.4% this week. The huge overflow of the dam resulted in opening 8 sluice gates to ease the pressure on the infrastructure. Other provinces have experienced a significant increase in water levels. The Free State went from 96.8% to 107.5%. Mpumalanga is also looking good. The Northwest looking good. Northern Cape, however, there's always one province which doesn't seem to follow the trend, and that is the Western Cape. They saw a decrease to 67.8% this week from last week's 69.3%. So obviously they are looking for more rain in the Western Cape. That's what's happening. That's all the news in the world of rainfall and dams, Pumi, which I know is something you always think about, right?
Yes.
Yes.
All this rain that's also brought all this cold back to Joburg after a heat wave.
Just by the way, lovely Lady Lee says, Esh, sorry, Sis Pumi, I can't relate. I've got a gas stove. Bloody hell.
Cooking in the dark there, Lady Lee. Cooking in the dark.
And, of course, the other place that's screwed, as Patrick says, is Port Elizabeth, because they haven't had enough rain either. So there's big, big trouble on the horizon there as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, the Eastern Cape's in some serious trouble. Nelson Mandela Bay, Kaibecha, as they call it now, Port Elizabeth. Jesus, we've got so many names to choose from. All of them, which are one place, struggling with water levels at the moment. And then Luzan also brings this up. This is a good point. Rain is not necessarily an upside if Eskom increases load shedding because the coal is wet. Do you remember when that was their excuse? I mean, these guys have come up with every excuse in the book. I don't know that there are any other excuses left at the moment for them to come up with. We will get into that and a whole lot more with Canthan a little bit later on. We'll also be joined by the Patriotic Alliance's premier candidate for Gauteng and the former MMC for Health, Social Development and Transport. That is Ashley Sauls, who will be joining us a little bit later on.
The first.
Ashley Sauls, the first. Correct, Pumi. Don't get it wrong. But first, I want to talk to someone called Clint Davis. Now, I did a little bit of research here because Clint has got an amazing company that we'll be talking about in a second. But before we get to that, he is a former South African radio DJ and host who lived internationally for the past decade, immersing himself in a whole bunch of different cultural surroundings that has caused him to learn quite a lot about the human condition. In turn, his perspective has led him to the creation of something called Capsule. That's C-A-P-S-L-L, which we'll discuss with him in a moment. I think this is pretty amazing. First of all, because it shows you that not everybody's on radio is stupid and has to stay in radio forever. Some of them move on and become much, much more successful. And Clint is precisely one of those people. He is the CEO and co-founder of Capsule. It's an app which gives users digital time capsules to save life stories, memories, and insights in video, picture, and audio format. And here he is to tell us more. Hey, Clint, how are you?
Good morning. Good morning, guys. Great to be on the show. Doing well. Back in SA, I'm fighting between caffeine and jet lag at the moment.
When did you get here?
Yesterday. So, not a minute sleep last night, but stoked to be with you guys.
Well, very nice to have you here again. So just remind us, because there are going to be people who are going to go, oh, I remember that voice or I know that face. So just remind us where we would have seen or heard you before. It's like 10 years ago, but go for it.
Yeah, like 10 years ago. And you know how radio is, right? Mm-hmm. In the one day, out the next, easily forgotten, you know?
But
I was with the purple guys around the corner there.
Jacaranda?
And I must say, Gareth, Jacaranda, yeah.
Okay. Very good.
With Lloyd, yeah. But I must say, just before we speak about anything else, I just want to say, Gareth, you know, during that time, seeing as you bring it up, it was around the same time or maybe just before you started Cliff Central. And It was really inspiring, honestly, you know. You entered this space before it was sort of a public market, really, you know. I mean, now we've got the Joe Rogans and all these guys that are making such a public space of it, but you really pioneered out there, and I hope you get the accolade for that someday because it was truly brave, and so congratulations on all the success.
Thanks, man. I'm not really looking for accolades. It would work out really well right now. If this country had more people who spent money on podcasts, because it's such a great format.
Yeah.
And I just do not understand how, you know, so many of these big businesses and companies are spending all of their money with Amazon, Facebook, Google, and not sending any of it back to South Africa to make a difference here. And frankly, they'd probably get more of a return anyway. Nobody wants these ads that are served up by artificial intelligence the whole time. I don't know when last you paid attention. But tell us about your product. Tell us about Capsule, because this sounds absolutely brilliant. And it's something that I've thought about often, you know, so much stuff that you have, old photographs, old video, audio recordings, stuff on your phone. You want to kind of create a little place, a little system where you can store all of that. For the kids, the grandkids, the great grandkids, it sounds like such a good idea.
I think it's a great idea. Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that. you know, it's amazing. I guess the topic is really this: the loss that we have. I guess we could call it a personal history deficit in a way. You know, we think about how history's been passed on by individuals through the ages. You think about all the way back to cave drawings. You've got scrolls, and you've got memoirs. You know. You've got, you know, books and such. Nowadays, you've got, if you're rich enough, you can have a documentary on Netflix. But the power of hearing a person's story in first person is really remarkable. But yet, because people trust social media in these spaces less and less, people are posting less. You know, at best, a lot of us go on to just view our memories now. And that's creating a deficit in the personal histories that we're saving, which means that as a generation, we're leaving a massive individual historical gap in our history because we haven't moved from the shoebox of photographs to something that can digitize well and be passed on generationally. And so, you know, when you consider personal history and a deficit you're creating, and you realize the power of your own story, then you start to realize how it impacts personal value. And there's a personal value deficit there as well. Mm-hmm. You know, we sort of played with the first version of social media over the last 10 years or so. And it's time to sort of take what we've learned and move on a bit. And while we're not creating strictly a social media space, it is a space where your content can live safely without the ills of current social media and be passed on generationally, as you so eloquently added.
All right, so it was launched in the U.S. earlier this year. Tell us about how it works, because I get that it's about saving memories, but how does it actually work? It's an app?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been founding for 2 years. So part of founding and part of pioneering something in a developing market is you sort of develop what you can, you build as you go, and then you develop further. So what we've built to date is an app that has private sharing. So basically, you can go on and create as many capsules as you want, right? So just like time capsules that you'd bury in your yard or garden, I should use, rather, being back in SA, you know. And in each time capsule, you can put audio, video, and picture. So that's already difficult to do on the web. So now in the power of your hand, you can do that. You can then take that capsule and you can categorize that as you like. It might be one for your school days. It might be one for your career or your wedding or grandma's secret recipes, whatever it is. You can categorize that as you like and put your content in there. Then to each capsule individually, you can give permission to who you want to see that one. So if you want to add it to a public feed, maybe you're a cancer survivor or you want to inspire somebody else, then you can add it to a public feed. But most importantly, you can keep each capsule just to yourself or share it with only the people you want to see that particular content. Once you've done that, you can add legacy contacts, which gives individuals that you permission to the license to pass your content on down the line generationally.
I love that last thing because people don't think about the long-term stuff, right? You know how many people die and their passwords die with them and all of that information and all of that data just goes away. It just sits there forever.
Yeah.
Now, Pums, I can see you've got a couple of questions. I just want to throw one or two more in here. What makes it different or unique? Someone asked here, what's the difference between this and Facebook Memories, or what's the difference, says Michael, between this and Dropbox?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we look at Dropbox, Dropbox is probably the closest sort of competitive landscape company out there. We're not building a social media space as such, but we do compare to Facebook too. And the reason we do that is because we build with what we believe is a new ethic in tech. And there's a few companies that are starting to do this, and it's fixing the ills that we face for such a long time. So on Capsule, you don't have any likes because we know that there's detrimental health effects from that. You don't have any public comments because we know how divisive that can be.
Yeah.
But you also don't have any targeted advertising. We have no ads on the app. We never sell data. We contract this with our users, and all of your content belongs to you, which is a big one because when you upload to Facebook or some of the others in your user agreement, they actually own that content. And that means that they can shut down and that's it, done. So not only is your content not curated and scattered across multimedia formats, different social medias, but it doesn't truly belong to you. If a loved one dies, you can ask for that page to be memorialized, and they'll memorialize it, but you'll never own it. Now, in Dropbox, you actually have to have a court order to gain that content. And so you imagine the grieving process going for that through that, for example, and then having to get a court order to get your loved one's content. You know, why not give the user the permission, as we are going to live in the new phase of internet at some point, give the user the permission to control their content and pass it to who they like.
Yeah, that's a great system. I mean, people, again, they don't consider what'll happen when they're not around anymore. People think they'll live forever. Okay, so you're also focusing on partnering with nonprofit organizations. Explain what that relationship is.
Yeah, we're really excited about that. You know, on that founding journey, you've got to figure out how you're going to go to market and what the benefit's going to be, both for the company, for profitability, and with the partner that you choose to go with. And for us, we just feel like going through nonprofit speaks firstly to the heart of how we're building this company and the ethic that we're building it with. But it really does address people that have valuable stories to save. For example, the first nonprofit that we're partnering with, and we're starting to roll out nonprofits next year. But the first one is a nonprofit that works with families who have kids who have life-threatening illnesses, and 75% of those kids are terminal. And so these are stories that want to be saved for their siblings one day and for their family members and such, to know one day when they look back on that. And so not only do you get the ethos of the type of story onto the app, because I think it's really important to develop the culture of the app as you're going along, because we've seen what can happen in that digital space of culture, you know. And so if we can get that right with people who understand the value of that, I think the spread from them is natural. If you can imagine somebody creating one capsule and then sharing that capsule on average with three people, right? Mom, dad, and spouse. Right. And then those people have an account and they share onwards, and it's sort of an exponential tree. Or what Capsule does with our nonprofits is we partner with them to help them reach their members. But at the same time, every subscription that comes linked to their nonprofit. We give a dollar back of that subscription to them indefinitely down the line with anybody attached to that nonprofit. So you guys are speaking about the sort of what was the altruism sort of end of life, leave everything in my will, you know?
Effective altruism, yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. What a nice title to have on your tombstone one day, right? but you know, that's great and all. And I love that companies give back in that, but we're actually building it into the architecture of what we're doing. 12.6% of what we make goes back to the nonprofit.
That's very cool. So it's almost like a tithe.
Yeah.
That's,
I guess. I think that's our dating too, isn't it, Gareth? Yeah.
Pums, this sounds like a great idea. You know, there's so many things that I would want to do with this, and I'm going to give it a try. So Pumi, you've got a couple of questions, I'm
what
sure.
Kind of, George Mini's question was very interesting for me because I can see memories and images and all of that kind of stuff, but what else can you, is it like a vault? Can you put documents in there? Can you put like birth certificates and that kind of stuff?
Ultimately, yes. You know, I should say that what's interesting is we're building a platform here. We're not building an app that's like, you know, most apps you pick up nowadays are just a feature or a single feature set. And that is fine to do something, change a photo or whatever. But when you're building a platform, you start thinking large scale and you start where you start. So the answer to your question is we don't position ourselves at this stage as a security focused company for secure documents and passwords and things like that. But we'll likely find a partner along the way that will specialize in that type of security, and then we'll branch into that space. Right now, we're just focusing on, instead of taking the 30 pictures to find the perfect one to post to show that you have some perfect little life, you know, we want you to actually affect the neuroscience that's in your brain and actually take a picture that's meaningful, or a video as to why were you there? Why does that mean something to you? Who were you there with? And what happens neurologically when you record these stories, because it's both, you can take a picture, upload a video, or more powerfully, you could do it in first person and just tell your story and leave your insights and your memories. But when you do that, the neuroscience of your mind actually pulls in related memories. And so you remember fuller memories, like sitting with friends that you haven't seen in years that go, oh, I wouldn't have remembered this story if we didn't meet, you know? So it's a very fulfilling experience. So no to the big insecurity side, but the content wise, like, it really is however it's you want.
Almost like a digital journal.
Tell your story in the first person. Gareth.
Sorry.
I got you,
Gareth.
Gareth.
You ask like 50 questions. I'm asking like two questions. Can I have that? Can I have that, please? No, but really. when you say tell the story in the first person, is it also like audio based, like?
Yes, that's a great question. I'm just going to say, Gareth, that's a great question. just give me some cred, you know, just get on your side a little bit. So yes, we've actually built in an audio recorder for that very reason. You know, obviously coming from radio, I understand the power of audio and how intimate it is. Some people don't want to be on video, you know, some people want to record a more intimate space, or I'll actually put my phone down when we're having a family gathering or with friends on a wine night or something and just record what we're talking about, you know? And those are capsule too. So yes, video, audio, picture, but you've hit the nail on the head. The actual core of the heartbeat of capsule is when I mean my first person is, if you're having your birthday, right, because we're building it for now and for one day, if you're having your birthday, we want you to think about picking up your phone and going, hey, it's my birthday. It's my 34th birthday. I'm just going to take 34 for today, guys. Just 34th birthday. And, you know, this is how I feel today. This is how my year's been. And this is what I'm hoping for next year. I'm going out to celebrate. Just do that. That's enough. Yeah. That's all good. Or you could speak about your whole year and then add pictures and such. That can go all the way through to telling your whole career, or how we got to live in America, or whatever it is, you know, but in first person. I kind of wish like I had my grandfather's insights and knowledge, you know, now that I'm old enough to appreciate it. And that was sort of one of the fires, that first person desire to have this wisdom that we're losing en masse at the moment.
Yeah, I love the idea that it's a digital journal as well, because people aren't keeping that stuff like they used to. You know, people used to keep a diary, but it wasn't just a series of appointments and meetings and schedules. It used to be that it was a place where you would record your thoughts and people could get into your head a little bit. And as a historian or as someone who loves history, those journals are just magical because it puts you, it transports you back into that person's life and into their head. The other thing, Anne Frank, yeah. Absolutely. And, yeah. and you said something right at the beginning, which I think is what George is referring to when he says this is an Elon Musk way of thinking. He loves it. He said, first principles, solve the problem, build a minimum viable product, and then iterate it to perfection. That's amazing. You said,
I love it, and thank you for that. Yes.
Yeah, you said people are not good at storing memories and of making memories and of thinking about it in the right way, because what they do is they just collect all of this content, and a lot of it is just meaningless, and most of it is to share with strangers, which is even worse.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And, you know, that's why the public space in particular is one that we have really looked to control and just add as a feature to have movement. Oh, Anton Devenish has just joined. He's actually one of our co-founders.
He is.
He's based in Bali at the moment, also former South African.
Nice.
So, you know, we just, yeah, it is that, Gareth. And we have a coach storytelling side of the app as well that helps people tell their stories so that we're leaving fuller memories and all of that. And, yeah, it is like that digital journal. But, yeah, back to what George said, it's so true. You know, I'd hate for anybody to walk away from this thinking, oh, let's go get Capsule. It's a perfect app. What we're doing is we're deliberately trying to become the market leader in a developing space of memory content. If you look around at what's out there nowadays, there's a lot of memory type of stuff that's starting to peak up. That's why we're building our app so publicly in the public space. Many founders and startups want perfection before they'll go live. We just want open, honest transparency. And we feel like the way we've contracted, the way we deal with our investors, and we are taking investment, by the way, so put that plug in there. Founders have to all the time. But the way we're doing this in the public space is how we want to live the life cycle of the app, is actually invite people to have a look at what we're doing, be a part of it. And when you end up saving your memories, if you save them with us or a competitor that arises, the important thing is that we solve this problem for humanity. Now, I will say, Gareth, that while we speak about that and that value, our big goal is actually this. Over the last decade, we've seen massive separation and division come in, largely caused by social media and how we've learned to interact and be on that space. We've seen that division play out in humanity face to face, and it gets quite ugly. We believe that with Capsule, because we're creating smaller, deeper connected networks of people that you enjoy, people that you love, people that you want to leave meaningful content with, and that you also understand in your story saving that you are one of 8 billion entirely unique human beings on this planet, and that makes your value, your story valuable. And we think that as you do that, as you engage in that, you'll understand the value of your life. In turn, you'll understand the value of other people's lives. And I think we'll affect a real tangible change in society as to how we connect with that, with each other, if we can do this properly. So we're building a product, yes, but we're also starting that movement, this collective consciousness of value of life through your insights, your wisdoms, no matter who you are, that makes you valuable and that your story should be saved. But I think we can turn around the 180 direction that a lot of today's digital content spaces have set us on a crooked path on.
All right. Well, there are lots of other technical questions. Congo Chris wants to know how your server's structured and a whole bunch of those, but we're pretty much out of time. So I mean, where can people find out more, and where can they get the app and all the rest?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. So it is live on the App Store and on the Google Store. So it's in both those spaces. If you want to just have more information, or you'd prefer to just join a waitlist for the time being because you'd rather wait till we've built a bit more, then capsule.app, capsll.app. You can see all of that there. And investors too, we have an open round at the moment. And so you can contact us via our investor page on the website.
Well, Clint, nice to see you, man, and thank you for talking to us about this morning. I wish you luck. It sounds like a great idea. You can find out more at capsule.app. That's capsll.app. And as Clint said, you can also go and invest if you want to. Looking for investors, too.
Good you stuff. Got it.
Yeah, you got it. No, absolutely.
You understand tech is right, Gareth. You know, it's like you can keep it going.
Very good.
We're in an interesting time, as you guys were alluding to earlier, by a lot of the stuff going on in the tech world.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Clint. Nice to see you. And that is us.
Appreciate
for the
it.
First,
not get me started. We have no time.
For the first hour of this morning, we come back with a burning platform in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com.